reschedule.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's just start recording now. So, I'll do the same introduction. So, it's Lauren here, talking with Gareth across the world as part of the NoFit State Archiving Project in celebration of their 30-year anniversary. Gareth, if you could please tell me your full name and spell it out.
My name is Gareth Jones, and that is GaretjoneS.
Perfect, thank you. And it is now 11:49 a.m. here, and it is
8:49 p.m. here.
Excellent. Cool. How did you first get into circusy things?
The first time I got involved in NoFit State was with Taboo, was the auditioning process as well. I'd worked with Forenza for quite a few years before that, as an actor and performer. And I played quite a few musical instruments, and in some of other shows that I did with Forenza, I sometimes played music for her or wrote music for the shows. And then she said to me that there was this job opening with NoFit State Circus, who I'd heard about and seen before as well, and said, would I like to come audition? I thought, yeah, because I saw Immortal Form, was blown away. The show was absolutely amazing. I hadn't seen circus like it ever before. And also, it was really nice to, because I'd worked a lot with Forenza, and her style is very particular.
Was that, so that was in acting stuff prior to
that was
circus?
Acting, yeah.
Right.
There as an actor.
And was that in Swansea?
I did work with her near Swansea, but also the first time I worked with her was when I was 17, and it was a National Youth Theatre Wales project in Aberystwyth. So that was the very first time I met her. And then I met her again whilst I was in drama school in Cardiff, in the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama. And she was doing a course there. And so I'd seen her again then, and I worked with her then. And then she said, come to Italy to do a show. So I came to Italy to do a show. And she said, come to Aberystwyth to do a show. So I kept doing a whole bunch of shows with her then. And this lovely relationship started to develop. And so... At some point, she said she knew that I played all these musical instruments, knew they were looking for a musician for Taboo, and invited me to audition. And so the first people I met, I think, were Peter, who was the musical director and composer for Taboo, and Serge, Dylan, Annette, the musicians who had been working with Peter at the time. It was like a two-day audition, it was like a whole bunch of sessions of just playing hours and hours of music, and I'd never had anything like it before because I'd worked as an actor before, and so that was super exciting. And I'd never played music like that with people before. I jammed in bands occasionally, but this was really different.
So, what was the process of the audition?
Sorry?
What was the process of the audition? If you were playing for 2 days, was it improvisation?
We just started playing, and that's the way Peter works, is that he just kind of goes, they'll start with the riff, and then we just all start playing stuff, and he just starts directing as we go along, and you end up playing the same sort of piece of music for maybe an hour or so, and then friends are usually like, picks what she likes from the hour or so of music, and that then you start developing that. They've got a really interesting process, the way that they work together. It was the first day I did it, and then I knew that they were getting together to practice on the second day, and Peter was just like, hey, do you want to come for the second day anyway? And I was like, yeah, why the hell not? I'd like to keep playing music.
And what were you playing during these, what instruments were you playing with?
I was playing piano, saxophone, and guitar at the time, yeah.
And voice?
And singing as well, and just going with the flow of whatever was happening. I can't really remember all of it. I remember meeting Barnes as well, the rigger. Met him there that first day, and he was lovely. And then I got the job, and then started meeting the rest of the company, and then went on tour with them and did did Taboo two times. I did the first year, and I went away from Norfolk State for 1 year, and then came back for the third year of Taboo, and then I was with them from then on through a whole bunch of other shows as well.
Cool. So with the, you mentioned about the process of the audition with, was it Peter?
Yeah.
Playing the riff and then you guys kind of building upon that. So was that how the music was created for that show? Was that similar?
Yeah. So Peter comes in with an idea and then everyone just starts playing around with it, and then he starts directing or picking out melodies that he wants people to play, and it's a really, really natural process with him. And it's really, he knows what he wants, and he gives really abstract direction sometimes, and that's a lot of fun as well. And like you'll say, imagine you're a woman chasing a bunch of chickens, and then you're like, okay, and you try and so you try and play the instrument like that, he's great fun to work with. And I didn't even know that Peter wasn't going to be doing the tour until about a week before we opened, and then I found out that I was going to have to play all the pieces that he'd been playing on piano when we've been practicing and rehearsing, because I was playing guitar at the same time or something like that. I wasn't even aware that he wasn't touring with us until a week before we opened, and I started going, I've got to learn these pieces. And he worked super hard, because most of my piano is self-taught. I had lessons when I was younger and did a whole bunch of grades, then I stopped for a long time and then started teaching myself again. And he worked really hard with me, and I learned a lot. And he taught me lots to do with the way he plays with his left hand, the way he plays piano is so interesting. And he helped shape the way that I play piano now.
So what's the left hand technique? Is that kind of not what's taught in standard piano lessons? Is it a bit more bluesy?
I think it is a bit. I think it is. I just hadn't got that far, I think, in my piano lessons before. And also, I just used to do very basic stuff for the left hand, and I would be focusing more on the bass and the chords. And Peter was just getting me to move it a lot more and integrate it with the sort of the higher end of the piano as well as doing the bass. So Peter, I think, has quite a dense way that he plays the piano, and he taught me that, because I've had other musicians say to me now that my piano playing is dense. So I guess that's because of Peter as well.
And dense piano player.
I think that Peter covers so much sound when he plays the piano. Like, he's playing a whole bunch of melodies at the same time, because he's probably thinking about so much stuff. And he taught me that way of playing and really pushed that. And he pushed me just the right level. You know, it was never at the point where I was like, I'm going to have a mental breakdown, it's too much. He just always go a little bit further or say, this is something to work towards, let's do this for now. He found out ways to develop and simplify things for me, which is really wonderful.
Yeah, sounds like he was an incredible teacher. Amazing. So when he didn't go on tour with you, were you leading the band?
It was Annette leading the band in the first year. She's in saxophone playing in Bianco now, actually. I think she might be there. You might have seen her. I'm pretty sure she was playing saxophone and flute. And so she was leading the band. And occasionally we'd all, because of the promenade show, and you'd get cues from sometimes not the easiest place. Sometimes different people would have to cue us in, like Dylan, the drummer, would cue us in for a certain point, or maybe I might cue us at another thing. Then the third year, I then went on to band leader, just because I think Peter was away for a lot of the rehearsals as well, so they wanted me to help lead some of the rehearsals then. And that was the first time I was having to learn all the cues and that sort of thing. And I think I was pretty good at that because of acting. All the acting training I had helped a lot for my, when I went into composing music for shows and working with directors as a musician or a composer. Having that acting training helped so much, and knowing what the performers are going through and how stressful it is for them and what they have to think about. And I think my brain being able to take on that information, I trained to do it from a young age. wasn't too difficult.
So how, with the music coming together really organically, how did it then relate to the performers? So did you create the music prior to seeing actually what they were doing, or was it a responsive?
I think when Peter was composing, it was Peter gets lots of ideas and goes with it. But then when you're also working in the tent with the performers at the same time, they're constantly around you doing things. And then in the afternoon sessions, you all work together. And that helps you get a sense of the show. And so then the music that Peter then created was depending on how he was feeling in the environment and the rehearsal room. And for myself, when I was composing, it was much the same. Usually I would find out the themes of the show or the ideas of the show and the feeling that they're going for, and then what sort of acts we're in as well, because certain rhythms work well for certain, and certain feeling piece rhythms and work well for certain acts or swing and trapeze or whatever else, depending. To have an idea of what equipment's being used gives you a good idea of what's going to be there and the timing of things, and you can start to imagine. So I'd probably write a good few hours of material before going in, and then when you go in, I remember, I think the first time I composed, I had very, very strong sense of what I wanted to do, and directed the band in quite, not quite a dictator way, but I knew what I would like them to play. I knew exactly what melodies I wanted to happen. And you work with the performers and you adjust things and you change things and you get ideas from watching and new pieces get created whilst you're around them. But then the second time I went in, I think it was a bit more, I took a bit more of a laid back approach and decided to also allow a lot more creativity with the musicians I was working with, and allowed them to come with different things and explored what it was like when I wasn't playing, and encouraged, give two people an idea or a theme and let them develop it and that sort of thing. So
a theme as in like an intellectual, like a thought idea, or as in like an idea of
sometimes a thought. I'd say this is a bass pattern, like I give them a simplified pattern of music and say, okay, this is your bass. You can always come back to that anytime you want to, but from then on, go wherever you want to. And then see what comes out and see what happens naturally. And sometimes, you know, pieces come out, usually new pieces come out just at the end of another piece of music. So just when you think you're about to end a piece of music, you decide, all of you maybe decide you're going to go in a completely different direction. And then you find you've got a new piece of music that fits well for an act or something.
Yeah, amazing. How about the writing of words for songs? How does that work for you?
So depending on what the show's about, sometimes you can either write quite literally. Like the first performance we did, we had a show called Labyrinth. And so I wrote a song called Labyrinth, which is about some of the ideas that I had about what a labyrinth was to me. And then sometimes it's just how you're feeling at the time. The way that I like to write lyrics anyway is I usually find a melody first and then find out what words or sounds, the words kind of come more in sounds and then slowly become words, if you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a shape. I make my mouth make shapes and then suddenly I go, oh, that sounds like that word. And then that's kind of how it happens. And that's then depending on what's going on again, what I've seen, whatever's going on in my life, you know, however I'm feeling as well. And try to keep it as honest as possible.
Hmm.
You never know what's going to fit with a show. You never know if it's going to, like, there's been songs that I've written which I think, oh, this would be great for something, and then it doesn't end up in. But another song that I've written which I thought, I'm just writing a silly song.
Hmm.
One afternoon I went crazy and wrote silly rock song about revenge, and then all of a sudden the director absolutely loves it and wants it in, and you know, and then you find it's there.
Hmm.
And it suits a certain character. It depends if it suits the characters that are being created. You never know.
Yeah. Have you ever had
another time? yes, I want to write this song specifically for this person or this character.
Yeah. Have you ever had, you're saying, so things that are happening in your life can affect as well what the lyrics are, what kind of songs you make. But have you ever, inadvertently written a song that that you didn't realise was about something that was happening in your life, but then you're like, oh, on reflection, this is definitely about that?
Yeah, probably most of the time I think that happens. Most of them usually, I think they always have something to do with how I'm feeling or thought processes that I have. If they don't, then it doesn't feel real to me and then I don't really pursue it. I think if it doesn't feel genuine, then I won't follow through with it. So usually they do. There's been some abstract ones and I go, and then I realize actually, yes, maybe they do have some place where they make sense. Sometimes old songs come back as well. When I was working with the circus, I just think about an old song that I was working on, years ago, and then it might fit with the show, or I kind of go, oh, we haven't got. And also with the band that we worked with, I really like to cross as many genres as possible. So that was another thing, is that the circus really pushed me into exploring what could be done, because you're creating a world of characters, all different from all over the world as well, these performers and the people they're playing and the way that they are. So you explore further than I would if I was just to write music by myself at home. Just because I'm thinking a bit outside, which is quite nice as well, because then you can write a revenge song. And I probably would never ever think about going on a massive revenge spree in my life. I can pretend it in a song, or I can kind of relate to it in some way, because I kind of dream about it, you know? I would never follow through with it.
Amazing. So what has been your relationships with the band members that you have, as in the more recent? Because I mean, I know you, Andy and Robbie as a band, but I didn't know.
Robbie wasn't with me, actually.
I knew Robbie in Edcay.
In Callum.
And Ash.
And Ashley.
Ashley,
John Long.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that was super awesome. Those guys are fantastic. And they still are fantastic. And I think we'll have to do it again sometime. And I'm sure we can manage it at some point, because we had an absolute blast playing together. And it went really well. And it was super smooth with them. You know, we had ups and downs as well. You know, there were times when it would be tense, of course, in rehearsals. But that, I think, helped it. And I think that only meant that we were all trying to make the best possible music. If it ever got tense, it's because we wanted it to be better. And it was a great thing, and it was just a whole very different creative energies from all of them, and it was just a good mix, a good balance, and we had some wicked shows. It was amazing to work with them. And I certainly hope we manage to do it again. But there's also a whole bunch of other musicians I worked with over the years. But those four, that was probably the tightest we had, because we had the same band for a couple of years running, it's quite rare, actually, I think. And in the time I was with the circus, it was the only time it happened. And so that made it super awesome, because when we went into rehearsals, we'd already done, four months or so all together. We knew what we were getting in for, and it just took off straight away.
Cool. Can you tell me about any of the kind of moments of playing together that you'd have after shows, around campfires, things like that?
Sure. Well, I think it happened a fair bit in the Eden Project. We had a lot more time when we were doing the Eden Project. We were only doing a few shows a week. So then we would just we also played the sessions, and occasionally around campfire would play a bit of guitar and that sort of thing. Ash was very shy, though. Ash wouldn't play. He's an incredibly talented bassist, but he would never really get his bass out after show, like showtime. He was traveling back to home a lot then. But I remember we had a good few kitchen pots and pans sessions, They were really fun in the kitchen trailer with Callum and Andy, usually after a good few drinks and playing anything. Callum's beatboxing as well, if he ever got drunk enough and started doing dubstep. That would always be a bit fun. And then, I did have one awesome one when, I remember we had a great gig in Edinburgh, but this was a different band actually. This was with Andy, who else was with it? Oh, Chris Cundy, who was an amazing saxophonist and bass clarinetist, and Dylan as well. And we went to this club in the bottom of Edinburgh somewhere. It was absolutely boiling in there. My accordion actually broke. It was so hot that the metal started to bend.
Oh my God.
In the accordion, and one of the keys broke. And we just started promoting the show and also just playing. And we just played a whole bunch of tunes and just had a laugh and then had a few drinks. And it was great fun. Yeah. And it's also fun to play with the performers. There are loads of performers that like to play music as well. There's a lot of ukulele at one point. A lot of people loving the ukulele. So that was going around. And then helping teach people guitar. And that's one of my favourite things about working with the circus and being a part of that is sharing. People like to share skills a lot. Or just share knowledge or whatever. But it's never ever competitive. It's always just like you're just passing something on to someone. People respect and like it when someone's really good at something, and yeah, they share it. Mm. I think that's one of my favourite things about it.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful thing to be able to have people with all of these different skills that you can pass on.
And everyone wants to learn, and yeah. There's no like, oh, I don't want to teach that person this trick because I've learned it myself. Or in acting, there's a lot of competition. You know, people don't like it because there's performers that look the same or act the same. And sometimes it's the same in the music industry. There can be jealousy or I don't know. Maybe there is a bit of that in circus, but I think in general, people get excited when there's other circus performers around them and that they can skill share and just play and explore. And, that's one of the good things.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. It's beautiful. Yeah. Is there anything that you could tell me about the touring aspect, so the travelling? And lugging your instruments around, like, was that at all difficult?
Right. Oh, God. Yeah. So the first couple, I didn't learn to drive till quite later on. So once I finally did and got a van, everything was a lot easier. So before I joined the circus, I didn't play accordion, actually. It was when I was working with Peter in the first Taboo, and he had this massive accordion. And Annette, the saxophonist, had a smaller accordion. I used to, and she used to let me practice on that. And eventually, I bought one and just started teaching myself bits and bobs. So by the end of the first tour, I had a whole bunch of instruments that were left in someone's caravan. I had to get them. So I had to get an accordion, saxophone, soprano saxophone, and a guitar, and a big bag. I had to carry that all on a train and get it from Manchester to Swansea. And that was horrific.
How did you manage it?
I don't know. You're able to kind of get two saxophones in one hand, the guitar in the other, the accordion on your back, as well as the backpack on the front. So it was, properly packed up, and it was horrific. But as soon as I got a van, travelling around with the instruments was a lot easier. But the travelling aspect of things was amazing, traveling, touring the UK was nice as well. It's nice to see places you haven't seen in the UK, but the Taboo tours that I did, I really, really enjoyed. I loved all the places I went to. There's some amazing places and the company as well. I heard Aidy speaking about it earlier. I really enjoyed the company that we had in Taboo. I've loved all the different companies. We had a great one for the theatre show as well. Mundo Parallelo show. That company was amazing, and it got me through that show, actually, I think. But the Taboos company was just super nice. It was like this really easygoing group of people that I found fascinating. Everyone I found really interesting in different ways. And so you could have, never got boring, just have an evening spent staying up, and we're staying up to all kinds of hours with people chatting away constantly. And then spending your days off doing things, usually a movie or going out and seeing stuff to the beach. That was lovely going all around Europe. That was really nice. A great way to see the world.
Where was
and
particular...
your homestay the same.
Yeah. Where was your particular highlight?
It's all right. Well, we got our guests.
Okay, cool.
You can pause it if you want. Continue, or do you want to... quickly wrap it up.
Yeah, there was a question that I really wanted to ask you. My mind has gone blank. I wanted to ask you, so how has your time with No Fit State affected what some of the projects that you're doing independently? So the project that you were telling me about with the communities and
The one of the things that I loved most about being in the circus, and still love because I still get involved with different things, is the community aspect of it. I mean, the creating the shows are amazing, and being artistic and expressing yourself is always amazing, but I didn't realize how much I loved the community side of it until I wasn't working with the circus anymore. And that's why I did this Quiet Triumphs project, which is a music project trying to engage people in their community and find a way to show people that basically it's the thing of think local, act global. You know, or is it act global, think global? I can't remember which way around it goes. But anyway, the whole point of just being active in your community will have a big effect on the world, and you can really make a difference to people's lives. And I wanted to use my music to show places where people were doing that, to show different like ways that people can do that, because I'd experienced it in No Fit State, and especially in shows that I've seen since, actually, in Ali's open house shows, which are just so amazing at engaging the community. I was right in the middle of the Quiet Triumphs project when I saw that show, and I was like, oh, it was so good, it made me so happy. I was like, see all these people excited to be exploring new ways of moving and expressing themselves and discovering things, and all together, and realizing that there's ways to be happy without, you know, trying to climb this massive ladder of success, large corporations and all this sort of thing. So that was one of the big things I learned from it, as well as numerous ways of expressing myself through music, through art. I saw so many shows. We were in festivals all the time. You'd see all kinds of dance, theatre, comedy, and that shapes who you are. That defines, with each new mode of expression, I think I'm closer to defining who I am and finding out more about who I am. And No Fit State were a massive part of that, and still are, and probably will be for many years to come. I imagine I'll still hopefully get to work with them again in the future, or at least get to see their shows, which will then inspire me.
Perfect. I think that's a beautiful way of concluding the interview. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Awesome. It's been lovely to hang out.
Yeah,
even though we didn't talk about